There was a period of my life, our family had joined the Lutheran Church, and we recited the Apostles' Creed most Sundays, sometimes the Nicene Creed or another creed. But this is the first time in my life that I've seen somebody reciting the Apostles' Creed with their hands up in worship. Daniel is a beautiful thing to see. And it's a beautiful thing. I really appreciate that. All right. Hey, we're going to, I'm going to start sharing today about this topic, the prophetic. And I have a lot of thoughts. I've been praying about this. The reason I'm pressing into this, I started having ideas about this, and then I started experiencing a lot of spiritual warfare. And for those that don't understand spiritual warfare, we'll talk about that another time. But I began to experience more and more spiritual warfare, and that just told me I was pressing into an area that somebody I don't like doesn't want me to go. All right, so, you know, poo on him, and we're moving forward in Jesus' name with this topic. Okay, so if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Now, there's something that we need to keep in mind, and that's the very scripture that Daniel shared this morning during communion. When God inspired the apostles to write on this topic so that we would have his guidance, right in the middle of the topic of spiritual gifts, right in the middle, right in the heart of that, is 1 Corinthians 13, which is about love. So as we talk about these things, if love is not the key, if love is not what is stirred in your heart, if you're involved with the prophetic and it's not love-driven, then it's off. It's off base. That is not the direction God would have us go with the prophetic. So I'm going to read a later verse in chapter 12 and then some earlier verses. Listen, this is verse 27 and following. Now you are Christ's body. That you is anybody that has put their faith in Jesus Christ, and individually members of it. You know, the whole idea of membership, you might have a Costco membership or a club membership, or you might be a member of a sports team. That idea of membership, this is where it originated, right here in the power of the Holy Spirit, telling people that have said yes to Jesus, they are members of his body. This is enormously important. You need to understand that you are a member of God's body, of Christ's body. You need to walk in life knowing that. Verse 28, and God has appointed, let's see, who is that? See, it was Gary? No, that wasn't right. It was John Wimmer? No. It was the Pope? No. It was a church council? No, it wasn't a church council. No, it says, God has appointed in the church. God did this. This is God's idea. And if anybody has a problem with the things I'm about to share, please take it up with the author of the idea. Would you please? All right. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? No, see, all of these positions in the church, all these gifts that are in the church are spread out so that we will need each other. There's no one person that has all the gifts all the time. We need each other. You need to know what your gifts are, that you can walk in them. And this is a wonderful thing about Cambria Vineyard Church. Many people get this. There's all kinds of things that are done. The first 10 years I was here, I stressed about every detail, everything, every Sunday, every week, every small group, every class. It was like, is everything lined up? Is everything ready to go? And now I don't. In fact, I'm surprised when something's not ready, because we have such wonderful people who know what their gifts are that get all these things done for us, because it's a body. In fact, we would not be live streaming if it was not for the body life of this church. People came together, wanted this to happen, and made it happen. But notice one of the gifts is prophets. Now, a few verses earlier, 20 verses earlier, verse 7, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Listen, the Word of God says this, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Why are there spiritual gifts? There's your answer, right there, for the common good. God wants to manifest His presence in you, in your life, so that other people benefit, so other people are helped. Folks, we live in a time where we need each other more than any time in my lifetime. Maybe in the 1960s it was kind of like this, but this is different. It feels different. It feels way more negative. And so we need each other. We need to be built up in love with one another. So the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, verse 8, for to one, to someone, in the body is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, I've discovered for myself that I have some prophetic gifting, and most preachers do. Whether they call it that or not, that's what it is. When somebody is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and your heart is impacted, when your heart is impacted by the Spirit, that is the gift of the prophetic working in that preacher. Most churches that don't ever talk about this stuff or don't use this kind of language, in their knowers, in the back of their mind, when a minister gets up to minister, a preacher gets up to preach, and there's an impact in people's lives, you know it's not you. You know it's the Holy Spirit. So, quite honestly, I didn't think this was me at all when I started out walking with Christ and got serious about the gospel. I didn't think there was anything prophetic about me. But there were people who would say, after conversations, after counseling, after a time of prayer, you know, this word that you gave me, that is exactly what I needed to hear. This is what I need to do for my life. This is the direction I need to go. And I'm not telling you this to puff myself up, because I'm as surprised by that as anybody else. But the Lord uses us, you see. To one is given a word of wisdom, another a word of knowledge. These are forms of the prophetic gift being performed in the larger body. So, the Vineyard movement has been engaged with the prophetic for over 30 years. All right, there's a lot of history here. I will not go into it this time, but just this is part of our DNA. And there was a time where the Vineyard had merged with other movements, and one of those movements was a prophetic movement. And this was in the early 1990s, maybe late 1980s. And during that time, there was some prophets, and one of them, these national prophets, one of them said there's going to be a massive earthquake in Southern California. And so, quite honestly, you know, how big? Well, you know, highways are going to be smashed, buildings are going to topple, there's going to be fires. This is a very, very ugly description of what would happen, and there were a lot of people that were worried, and some people got weird, all right? There were some people that said things like this, not at the church I went to, but some churches said, maybe we should sell our property, convert it to gold, move it to Texas, and then come back and rebuild after the earthquake. I mean, this was an idea that was floated around. You know, hey, maybe we can pin down the exact date and we can be on the plane leaving LAX as everything's crumbling to the ground. Now, if nothing else, this kind of thinking has to tell you that there's no love involved with the reaction to this prophetic word, right? Well, John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard movement, was brilliant at pastoring the spiritual gifts. That was really nearly apostolic, a word that he would not take for himself. But he could pastor this sort of thing. And he stood up at one conference, and after someone was talking about this, he said, you know, it doesn't take a prophet to predict there's going to be an earthquake in Southern California. Right? It doesn't. It's obvious. That's going to happen. It takes a geologist. It takes anybody that's lived there, You know, I've been through three really major earthquakes in Southern California. Now, these prophecies were in the early 1990s, and indeed, there was a massive earthquake. You might remember, if you lived anywhere in Southern California, the Northridge earthquake. I lived 70 miles away from there, and it woke me up. And it went on and on. And I said to Barb, my wife, I said, somebody is in really, really big trouble right now. Because it was just so massive. And sure enough, highways collapsed. Buildings fell. There were fires. It took months to get things back to normal. So now, we live in hard times. We've had COVID. We've had riots. We've had some people call it insurrection. Some people, you know, say there's shouts for justice. There's all kinds of interpretations going on. And now on the internet, now on YouTube, you can go and listen to people that prophesied this. At least they're telling you they prophesied it. There's no video of them or recording of them prophesying this stuff. There's just a declaration that in my group of leaders, I told everybody these things were going to happen. I had dreams. I had words. Well, I would love for those people, quite honestly, to bring those leaders out, put them on camera, and have them confirm that. All right? It's not because I'm unbelieving about them, but I am skeptical of the human heart that wants to puff itself up. Okay? So God, you know, maybe God has given these folks' dreams and visions and prophetic words, but they're really most effective when they're told before things happen, right? Jesus prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed a generation later. Weep not for me, weep for your children, he said. A generation later, Jerusalem was destroyed. The prophets in the book of Acts said there's going to be a famine in the Roman Empire. Prepare. People prepared. There was a famine. There's all kinds of verses in Corinthians, for example, about this. The Apostle Paul, a prophet, came and tied him up with his own belt and said, you are going to be in chains just like this and taken to Rome. And it all happened. You see, the prophetic is really, really powerful when it's spoken ahead of time. Now here's the thing. One of the folks that whose dreams are many people have watched and asked me about said that in November, a very large part of the population, there will be riots, there'll be fires, and so forth. And they described what's happened in the last couple of months will be way worse in November, even to the point of possibly civil war. Okay? Let's see. What's happening in November? What is happening in November that could ignite, I don't know, protests? What is there that there's got to be, come on, right? Isn't there an election in November? Isn't there an election? And whoever wins or loses, aren't there going to be a lot of unhappy people after that? There's going to be people, in fact, one might reasonably forecast there might be civil unrest, protests, and some rioting. I'm not saying who's going to win or not going to win, but there's enough animosity in our society that whoever wins, somebody is going to be really, really unhappy, and there might be backlash. It doesn't take a prophet to predict that. Now, quite honestly, if there isn't massive civil unrest, that person who made that public declaration, and it's out there, that stuff's out there. And then the interesting thing is some pastors are playing it and then interpreting it and saying what it really means. There's something wrong with the prophecy if you need other people than to make little corrections to it. So, in November, I predict there will be backlash, vandalism, protests. Some, there might be even rioting. Okay, never mind. Folks, whenever the Lord starts speaking to his church about events that will take place, and he does, if you have ears to hear, you will hear of things before they happen. The Lord does send prophets into the world. It's much more subtle, generally speaking, than Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, okay? In fact, I've seen some incredible prophetic personalities in my life. None of them approach that. But whenever the Lord starts speaking to his church, there's always the counterfeit. I'm not saying this person that has the prediction about November is counterfeit, but I'm saying that counterfeits start popping up. Non-Christian cults or aberrant religious movements start making proclamations and teaching things. It's interesting to me that just about the time God begins to speak to his church, I've seen this three times now in my life. When God starts speaking to his church, suddenly there's on television all these documentaries, so-called documentaries, about Nostradamus. And then interpretations of his stuff. For those that don't know, Nostradamus was a medieval occult practicing fortune teller. And he wrote in a French form of poetry called quatrains. And he was very esoteric, very obscure language. It was a kind of mysticism, some think. There was a political agenda in his writing. There's lots of ways. You see, when you're obscure, there's lots of ways to be interpreted. When the Apostle Paul was tied up with his own belt and told, "You're going to go to Rome in chains," see, what could the spiritual meaning of that be? What's the spiritual meaning of that? No, it was literal. There was nothing spiritual about it. It was, prepare your heart, dude. You're going to have some hard times. That's all. Nothing spiritual other than, you know, and they're trying to talk him out of not going. He says, I get to testify to the Caesar? Are you kidding me? Put the chains on. Drag me off. I'm ready. So, these TV shows about Nostradamus, I'm predicting, because I honestly haven't seen any yet, but they're going to be popping up. They're going to be on the History Channel and all of these other, I don't know why they call it the History Channel. It's not anything about history on that channel. It's about aliens, and Nostradamus, and weird interpretations of the Bible. I mean, it's strange things. But folks, when society is going through a difficult time like right now, when people's paranoia is peaked, when people have greater anxiety, fear, anger, and rage, then we all want to know what's going to happen. We want to know how to prepare. Well, let me tell you the secret to preparing. Be prepared before things start going sideways. If you have a modicum of peace in your life, even though things are strange and there's social distancing and the stores don't have everything in them they used to have, get your house in order. Get your house in order. You know, if you need to, you know, take some of your acquired wealth and turn it into gold, you can. I just read in the Old Testament that when real judgment comes and real hard times come, when the day of the Lord comes, people will be throwing their gold in the street because they'll be disgusted at themselves for putting their faith in it. Just, I don't, what the heck? So how do you prepare? We start asking this question. When I worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, I went to lunch one day with a fellow who was going through a divorce. He'd only been married a year, and his wife was divorcing him, and he was just a wreck, just absolutely, because he loved her. He thought it was forever. And he said, "Gary, how do you know what's God's will?" And I mean, it was really a surprise because I wasn't running around evangelizing everybody all the time. I did a little bit, but you know, it was a workplace. Most of the time we just worked. And I said, well, you know, it really starts with the Word of God. I said, why? He said, well, I've been going to fortune tellers because I need to know what to do. I need guidance for my life. And it just hit me. This is the reason why God has given his church the gift of prophecy. And when it's practiced well, it's powerful. I went to a charismatic Lutheran church for several years. In fact, after I stopped attending the church, I would drive across Los Angeles once a month because they had a service called Mid-Month Communion, where you would spend about an hour preparing your heart to take communion. You would take communion, you'd go to the altar, kneel down, take communion, and then they would ask you, is there anything we can pray for you for healing? And if you had something, they would pray for that. And then they would lay hands on you and prophesy over you. And God gave incredible direction. There was a line, okay? You would stand in line to get into church. Then you'd stand in a line to go up to take communion. It was holy. It was reverent. The presence of the Lord was rich. And the words, the prophetic words, were guidance and beautiful and peaceful. And you felt loved at the end of the experience. Would you drive an hour once a month to spend 2 hours doing something like that? I mean, literally, it was an afternoon event for your life. And you would go with people and you would talk about it. Some very, very famous people actually would show up to that mid-month communion. You see, this is when prophecy is done right, when it's done well. It's powerful. And people who want to know what's going to happen are given a word from the Lord. So what will start happening is other groups, various aberrant religious groups, their magazines will start having end time scenario information. Several people have asked me, Gary, is this the beginning of the end times? These might be birth pangs, but this is not that bad yet. It's not that bad yet. By the way, I do believe the Lord warned us. He began to warning us by guiding me to teach on the fourth turning, to study that to begin with, and then to teach on that. I believe that was guidance. I believe that was prophetic, even though the jargon was historical. See, this is how it works if you have ears to hear. So when people have greater anxiety, fear, anger, rage, when we all want to know what's going to happen, how do we prepare? Then folks turn to things like Nostradamus or magazines for different cultic groups, or somebody on television says, you know, buy stock up on your supplies so you can eat during the coming horrible season and with food shortages. If you live anywhere, I don't know, if you live anywhere in America and you're not prepared for disaster, you're not paying attention. There's earthquakes in California. There's tornadoes in Tornado Alley in the Midwest. There's deep snow drifts that come in the winter in the Northeast. And if you're not prepared, bad things are going to happen. Be prepared. Don't let people fill you with fear. The counterfeit will fill you with fear. You know, what did we just sing about fear? Fear is a liar. Yeah. It is. Don't, if it's not filling you with love and anticipation of God's goodness, even when things are going to be hard, you think it was going to be hard for the Apostle Paul to go to Rome in chains? Someday I'll describe the hell he went through to stand before Nero Caesar to declare the gospel to that horrible Antichrist human being. Someday he went through torment, but he was prepared because there was a prophetic word, and that word prepared his heart. So, for those that don't know, the Vineyard has this long history. with the prophetic. One of the people that, one of the nationally known prophetic personalities, a guy named Bob Jones, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the university of Bob Jones, and it's a different guy, completely different. I mean, they lived in, you know, whatever, 80 years apart or whatever. But Bob Jones was teaching on the prophetic, and he said during that teaching, one of the mistakes that happen is when we start seeking God and we want to have this prophetic gifting, which it's a good thing to ask for. The scriptures tell us to seek God for the higher gifts, it says, and we start seeing in a supernatural way. It's generally very subtle, but he said, he called them baby Christians. No, I'm sorry, baby prophets. The baby prophet will start seeing in the heavenlies, and they don't look far enough. They don't look into the third heaven, he said, where God dwells, and wait for the word from God. They're looking into the spiritual, and the devil will say, look over here, and then you'll start looking in what he called the second heaven, where the prince of the power of the air reigns. And this second heaven, you will get information, but it'll often be dark, it'll be negative. And when you listen to that and prophesy that, then you're bringing despair, pain, fear, anxiety into people's lives. And this is when you're prophesying in a church setting, in a prayer setting, and you start saying these negative words, you're really doing the devil's work. He said, you need to look. If it's negative, you need to ask God, where's the positive? You know, if you know, hey, I have this word, there's going to be a horrible accident. You're going to be involved in a horrible accident. Say you have that word, and you know, the person gets full of anxiety. You need to stop that and say, no, let's pray against that right now. Let's come against that right now. Let's say no to that right now. Lord, what do you want to do through this? You want to preserve this person's life. You want to protect them from harm and evil. You want them to be cautious as they start out on their road trip. Whatever the thing may be, Lord, we thank you for the good that is going to come, because you have promised good to me. And you pronounce the positive. And I had to learn this the hard way. When he said those words, I went, oh my gosh, I've done that so many times, where I've seen the negative, I've seen the calamity, I've seen, oh, this person is ready, really headed for a cliff, and instead of saying, yeah, you're going to be going over a cliff, buddy, you know, and boom, that, you know, fire and rolling and broken bones, and instead of prophesying that, let's pray against that. So if you begin to see things and hear things in the spirit, ask God what his will is. See, this is why Jesus taught us to pray that prayer. You see, the Lord's Prayer is the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the Sermon on the Mount is, you know, your will be done, Lord. We don't want the devil's will. We don't want the world's will. We don't even want our will. We want your will to be done on earth, in my life, in our lives, as it is in heaven. We don't want the prince of the power of the air to have his will done. We want to come against that. So, if you're beginning to see things and they're negative, yay, you're beginning to see things. You're starting to hear things in the spirit. Hallelujah, you're starting to hear things in the spirit. But trust God that he wants good for you. The devil wants to spread fear, anger, paranoia, anxiety, and rage. If that's any philosophy that promotes any of these is not from God, okay? Do not be taken captive by those things. There were a few words given during this season of our Vineyard movement about geopolitical events, but very few. Most of the words were for individuals, words of encouragement, empowerment, words of healing and growth for individuals. When we're prophesying something negative, it becomes a negative report to the hearer. It becomes a sense of God not finding favor in that person's life, that God is judging you and will allow the bad to come into your life. You see, this is wrong on many levels, but the biggest place that is wrong is I'm not under judgment because Jesus Christ has paid for my sins. He's taken the judgment that is due me. And so if you ever get a word or you start feeling oppressed by some idea that God is judging you, you need to say, Jesus, thank you for dying for that on the cross and setting me free from that. Some of you recall that I was sharing, I don't know, a year or so ago. If you're going to purchase a house to wait, if you're going to purchase prophecy, wait, prophecy. If you're going to purchase prophecy, pay me. No, never mind. If you're going to purchase property to wait, that we were at the top of the market, and the market, now this is kind of a word of knowledge, kind of a word of wisdom, and some of it's based on research and history and understanding some things, but some of this was spirit-led. And quite honestly, we are right now at the beginning of that correction. These corrections, historically speaking, last 5 to 8 years. And the correction, this is since World War II. This correction in real estate, now's a good time to wait. Wait another year. You'll get way more house or this, the same house for way less money. This might be a short correction. It might last longer. I don't know. But I remind you of this, not to glorify me, but to glorify God, that God gives wisdom to his church through many people. I'm not the only one that had this word of knowledge. It can be very matter-of-fact informational. So some people have a much more emotional and passionate way of sharing words to others. And that has its place. It really is fun when somebody with passion brings a prophetic word. If I did it, I'd be phony. I'd be fake. I'd be pretending. All that to say, when it is the Holy Spirit giving us knowledge and wisdom, it will be true. It will come to pass. Now, I have a lot to say, and I've been thinking and praying over this important topic. I need you to be praying. Because again, I've been encountering a lot of spiritual warfare about this. This is this message is way more disjointed than I want it to be. But this is where I am at the moment, and I need your help. I need your prayers and your intercession to talk about this, and for our church to move into the real prophetic. Let me tell you something. I was very involved in the Vineyard in the late 1980s and 1990s. I saw the prophetic. I saw the birth of it. I saw the John Wimber version of it. I saw the national prophetic folks version of it. And I saw the fake version of it. And that I have some things to say about that at another time. But so that we will not live in fear of what is happening in our world, so that we can know that God is in our lives, that he's in control and has a purpose for us to fulfill during this time of the COVID crisis and social unrest, We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So just some examples from my private life. By the way, I taught a class in the book of Acts some years ago, and one of the things I had the students do is I gave them an empty notebook, and I said, start writing down the miraculous things, the Holy Spirit-led things, the Spirit gift things that have happened in your life. Start writing them down. Write your own book of Acts. The acts of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so you can refer back to that, because in hard times, we lose focus and we start wondering, is God there? Well, if you have a historical memory that God is working, then you will believe that he is going to continue to work in your lives. COVID and the social unrest in America and all the other things, none of this is a surprise to God. So he has resources available to us for this hour. Now, so the way the prophetic works in my life is typically I get pictures or images. I'll be praying over someone. I'll get a picture and an image. And I used to interpret those. I tell them the image, and I would interpret it. I just tell them the image now because my interpretations have been wrong over and over again, but the picture has been right. Just a couple of examples. I don't know if you guys know who Gordon Dalby is. Gordon Dalby, the author, he's a part of the Vineyard movement. His wife, Mary Andrews, Dr. Mary Andrews, was the psychologist on staff at our church. That we had like four or five other marriage and family therapists. She was the staff psychologist and a wonderful spiritual woman. And she was going through some hard times, which I didn't really know that much about, but we were praying as a group and praying for one another, and I said, Mary, just see somebody taking a bag of gold coins and unzip, you know, untying it and opening the top and pouring it over your head. She said, "Oh, that's kind of weird." I know it's weird. Whatever. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. So that next weekend, some friends had gotten together because of some circumstances, which I don't remember all of it now, but they knew she was financially having some difficulty, and they had this party, and they invited her to the party. She went to the party, and then they had organized like a money tree or some such thing for her so that she could get through that hard time. And she came back and told me, I thought it was a metaphor. I thought, and she told me about this. So I'm naming a name, somebody that's famous in the Christian circles. This is something that Mary might not even remember today, but I imagine she would, Mary Andrews Dalby. Anyway, but she, you see, the reason I'm telling you, she was so encouraged that God cared about her so much that he spoke to her directly. You see the power of that? Here's something, and it's a picture, it's a metaphor. You're praying for somebody, you get a word, and you know, a lot of it just rolls like water off the duck's back. But she went, "Oh my gosh, God cares. God cares." Just, I don't know, sometime a year ago, maybe a little longer, Walt Thomason was in our class. We have a class on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and we were doing the part on prophecy, and you have a praxis with this where we stop and we listen, and what's your impression, and so forth, a practicum. And I had this picture of, I didn't know Walt at all, really, just from the class. He's very new to the Vineyard. I'm not even sure at this point he had accepted Christ. Maybe he had, I don't quite remember. But I had this picture. I saw Walt, and there was like just all these bank vault, you know, like the dials on a bank vault that you have to turn to unlock the vault. I said, I see a picture of that, and I don't know why. I don't know what it means. I have no idea what it means. And I thought, okay, he's going to run out of the room. He's never going to come back. He's going to go, these people are weird, which, you know, okay, yeah, I'll own that. Anyway, he says, I said, does that mean anything to you? He goes, I know exactly what that means. And I went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. What does that mean? So he works at the gun range, and they have all these safes that they put guns in. They all have combinations. So, I mean, what does that mean spiritually? It simply means this. God loves Walt and wanted Walt to know that God is watching his life. That's all. Do you think to somebody that has not been exposed to the supernatural, to divine things, to the Word of God, that's not powerful? It's exceedingly powerful. And thank you, Lord, that it wasn't just my vain imaginings, right? There's times, quite honestly, there is risk involved in making prophetic statements or saying, here's a word from the Lord, here's a picture from the Lord. For me, there's a bit of fear and trepidation because I want God to be glorified. I don't care if, you know, I get credit. It's not about that. I don't want people to go, well, those people are kooky. I want nothing to do with that. And I've seen people respond that way. So there was one gal. I've told this story before. It's been a while, I think. But and I don't remember her name exactly. It may have been Fatima. Fatima. She was a Persian. Iranian, living in West Los Angeles. And she came to the church and accepted Christ, and she was going through a really, really horrible time in her life. Her husband was divorcing her, how much to edit here? There's a lot of background story. I'll try to just set that aside for the moment. So we gathered around to pray for her. You're talking about somebody who was traumatized, somebody that was just broken, somebody PTSD, just shaking like a leaf. And we gather around and we're praying for her, and we're giving her words, and I give her this word. I say, Fatima, I see around you, I see the Statue of Liberty. I see it in the harbor in New York. And does that mean anything to you? Do you think, because her husband had taken her kid and disappeared, and she was afraid the child was being transported back to Iran, where she would never get to see her again, because she had converted to Christianity. She had a death sentence on her. So she was terrified. She was terrified that she'd be murdered. She was terrified for her child, that she'd never see her child again. And so you think your husband may have gone to New York. Do you know anybody in New York? And she's just looking at the ground, and she's like, why are they bothering me with this stuff? She's just shaking her head, no, I don't know anything about New York. Nobody in New York. And I felt about this big. Here's this woman that's traumatized. She's just traumatized. And I give this word, and I want it to be like, God, this is going to be encouraging or something, right? And she's like even more like hurting, and I'm going, oh, I missed it, Lord. I'm sorry. So fast forward about 6 months. 6 months, okay? There is a hearing that has been planned for her to be able to stay in the United States with the and not have to leave. She was she was living. There was a green card involved with her husband that was taken away. They were going to deport her. They sent her back to Iran. She would probably die. I mean, this was very serious. So the church had gotten together some funds and got an attorney that specialized in immigration law. And so they were taking, what's the word when you go to court? And they're taking depositions. And I was told to go and give a deposition on her behalf, that she was part of the church and a part of the community, and that we knew who she was and all that stuff. And so he went to this lawyer's office in West LA, very fancy, very expensive office. And we're sitting there, and she's there, and she's still just a wreck, just a wreck. Who wouldn't be a wreck? And I'm sitting there, I'm going, I've never been here before, but why is this room so familiar? Never been here before. Why is this room? And it hit me. Every wall in this very large office had paintings of the Statue of Liberty everywhere. There were dozens of them, little ones, big ones. And it hit me. Oh my gosh, that word, Fatima. Do you remember that word? Do you remember we were praying for you? Yes, I remembered. Do you remember the word? Yeah, you said New York. I said, what about New York? You said you saw the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. And I said, look at the walls. She looks up. Her jaw hits the floor. She's looking around. She's looking around. You see, it was an immigration attorney's office, Statue of Liberty. Hello, right? Does that make perfect sense? But she knew at that moment that the living God cared about her circumstances, her life on this earth. Do you see that? You see how powerful the prophetic can be when we humbly open our hearts to God and ask for his guidance. So I lost track of Fatima after that. So I don't know what happened in her life after that. But here's the point. The living God does not want you to go through life wondering how to make decisions about your future. And if we as a church learn to walk in the prophetic, the true prophetic, not the psychologically strange or the wish fulfillment type of prophetic, and we'll talk about all of that at another time. But the true prophetic, where we're hearing from God and giving simple words to one another in the Spirit that turn into guidance and decisions and a future, then God is glorified. We have so much more to say. I've used up my time. But I just want to pray right now. I want to pray against fear. I want to pray against the false prophetic, and I want to pray for the real prophetic. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you made us members of your body. Yes. You have given us wisdom and knowledge and the prophetic gifts for the building up of one another in the Spirit. And also, Lord, there's the whole revealing the hearts of those that don't know you yet, so that they might know that you know who they are. Father, would you forgive us for not utilizing these gifts to their fullest, and would you empower us now to focus on the future you have for us, yes, and to know by the leading of your Spirit how to make decisions in these very troubling and difficult times. I just say in Jesus' name, fear be gone. Yes. We say to you, go to Christ. Every spiritual force of wickedness promoting fear, anxiety, terror, rage. Go to Christ for him to deal with you. Leave every member of this body of Christ alone. Go for him to deal with you. And we pray, Lord, in place of these things, for your peace and your love and your joy to pervade all we do. Father, would you give your living church wisdom to hear your word and not to listen to the false prophetic. And Lord, for us to know the difference, because knowing that difference is very hard sometimes. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.